in my craw. Have you ever had that happen to you? Where one person who doesn't like you ruins the whole party of people who do. You can't focus on enjoying all the love that surrounds you because there's that one thing that just spoils it all. In Scripture it says, I could not enjoy the vast power and greatness of my position because of that Mordecai. What an awful thing to let someone destroy your happiness and your joy. But there's another lesson to learn from me. You see, I didn't simply allow my foul feelings to be kept to myself, but I also wanted to do something about it. I wanted revenge. And so, as Esther took office as the queen, I had no idea she was a Jewess. But I did know of my hatred for Mordecai. And I did know and concocted a plan that would rid myself not only of Mordecai, but of every Jew in the kingdom. I went to the king and I said, King, O great Xerxes, power of all the earth, there is a people in your kingdom who do not worship the way you worship, who do not obey laws the way you offer laws. And they are not valuable to your kingdom and they should be destroyed. And the king knew of my administrative excellence. He trusted my counsel. Maybe he didn't pay enough attention. But he said, create an edict and have them destroyed. And so I brought to him a letter that suggested that on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar, that every Jew in the kingdom could be attacked and killed, and whoever killed them could possess all of their belongings, land, and buildings. And then, when the king signed it, I sent riders throughout the massive kingdom to prepare for the 13th day of Adar. And my king and I sat down to drink. As Scripture tells us, that all of Susa was confused and was on edge at the news. Well, I felt myself extremely powerful at that point. But there was going to be a twist. You see, as I told you, Esther didn't seek to be queen, but she was chosen to be one of those princesses and prepared and finally selected. And as she anguished over that selection, Mordecai went to her as her foster father and he said, Esther, you don't know why you are being chosen, but maybe for such a time as will come, you are put in this position. For such a day as this, you are there. Do you know that is true for each one of us? Each one of us, God has given gifts and asked us to be prepared for such a day as God is going to use those. And so she assumed the duties of a queen. And she was a faithful queen. But as the day of Adar came closer, she was made known that not only was this the day, but she needed to act. And so she did something that no queen had ever successfully done. She went to the court of the king unsummoned. To do so could be an act of destruction for herself. But gratefully, the king extended his scepter. And when she laid hands on it to make her request known, he said, "Oh, my queen, what can I do for you? I would give you up to half my kingdom in any of your requests." But she was crafty and wise. She didn't ask him at that point what she really wanted. Instead, she said, "O king, I would like to have you and your most important prince, Haman, come to a special banquet for me at my place and dinner table." Now, I felt very honored. She wanted me as a prince to be with my king at a private dinner. And I went home and I told her, but as I was walking out of court, I saw that Mordecai, and he infuriated me by snubbing me and turning the other way. And I went home and I was fuming, and I said to my wife, Zeresh, I said, "This man is under my skin and I cannot let it go. He's so rude to me when I am the second most powerful man in the kingdom." And she said, "Yes, you are, my dear. So why don't you do something about it?" And she put a plan in my head. What plans sometimes are given by people who are not thinking of our best? She said, "Why don't you build a gallows? Why don't you build the gallows 75 feet tall so that everybody in the city can see? And then why don't you go to the king and ask for Mordecai's death on that gallows?" Well, I thought, sure, why not? He's snubbing me. I am the prince. And so I went with a boastful heart to that first dinner. And we had a wonderful dinner. It was so delightful that when I asked what she would have of me, she turned to her king and said, "King, I have but one request of you. Would you come back for a second dinner with Haman?" "Well, yes, this has been wonderful," said my king. And I said, "Yes." And I left, thinking that everything was going great. And I went out. But as time passed, there is one phrase in the whole book, even though it is the only book, it's one of two books in the whole Bible where God's name is not mentioned. The book of Esther never mentions God's name, but He is active in every page. But the most explicit is one simple sentence. And that sentence was, "That night, the king could not sleep." Now, if that phrase had happened the day before or the day after, I might still be in my position of royalty. But instead, that one night, the king could not sleep. And in restlessness, I don't know what you do when you can't sleep. Maybe you count sheep. Maybe you turn on the television set and channel surf. Maybe you pull out a good book and read until you're tired. But what King Xerxes did is he called for the court records to be read. I think he thought that there was so much boring stuff that went on in court that he would finally fall asleep. But it just so happens that the part that the readers began to read mentioned a simple story about a plot that had occurred several years earlier, where two of the lesser princes were plotting to assassinate King Xerxes. But the plot was foiled by the informant, Mordecai, a Jew. And the king was so entranced by that story, they said, read it again. And when they read it again, he said, did we do anything to give honor to this Mordecai? To recognize his great contribution? And they said, no, we can find nothing in the records. Oh. Well, by this time, the night had passed. Day was breaking. And I was ready to be eagerly in court the first thing to ask for Mordecai's life. And so as dawn came up, I came to the palace. And the king said, who could help me with this? When his courtiers came in and said, I was waiting for an audience. He said, good, send Haman in, I need his advice. And before I could get my question out, the king said, I was told of a man who did great things for the kingdom. And I can't think of the proper way to honor him. Could you help me with that? Well, I thought, second in command, he was going to honor me. And so I thought, what would be good? I know. Put the finest robe that you've ever worn on his shoulders. Put the grandest headpiece you've ever had on his head. Put him on your grandest horse. And then choose one of your greatest princes to walk him through the city announcing who was this man that was so honored by the king. The king looked at me with bright eyes and said, that's a great idea. You be the prince to lead the horse upon which Mordecai rides. Mordecai! Oh my goodness. And so I did it. I put the king's robe. I mounted him on the grandest stallion. I walked him through the city streets, proclaiming the great thing that he had done for King Xerxes and how honorable Mordecai was. And then that night I went home, grumbled to my wife, Zeresh. How could he do such a thing? How could such a thing happen to me? And she looked at me and said, I told you so. You should not concern yourself with Mordecai. You should have left him alone. Oh, great. You had me build this gallows. And now you deride me. And so that night I went to the second banquet. I was very humbled as I walked in. And that night, as we feasted, I was quiet. And then the king asked, what can I give you, my mighty Esther? And she said, O king, I would plead for my life that you would spare me. Well, of course. I would plead for my people who are to be exterminated at the direction of Haman. For I am a Jewess. And I come from a line of people who have served the king faithfully. I would not ask this if we were simply sold into slavery, for that would not be worthy to ask to spare me of. They are going to kill and annihilate all my people. And I beg you, king, for my life. The king was enraged because forever in the Persian Empire, an edict that was signed by the king could never be taken back. He felt tricked and he left in a rage. And after he left, I got up and saw that the law was on my side. And I went over to Esther and said, so you are a Jewess, and you too will be. And I put my hands on her shoulders, just as King Xerxes entered again. He said, what are you doing, even molesting the queen? He said, take him away. And the guard said, what should we do with him? And the king said, hang him on the gallows that he created. You see, the foolishness of revenge has always been a great temptation for us. But it almost always boomerangs on us, doesn't it? If you have in your heart hatred for someone, it will eat you, not them. 300 years after my time, there was another Jew who walked the streets of Palestine. His name was Yeshua. And his words are recorded for posterity. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, not only should you not have great violence in your heart, for you have heard it said, love those who love you, but hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy also, and pray for those who persecute you. I wish I'd listened to him. I wish I'd had some wisdom to be a man that was not destroyed on my own gallows. Thank you.